Recording is on. Okay, so we are on the top of Bava Kama Daf Vav. So that's 6A.
Okay.
And we've reached conveniently the two dots. So we Hatzad HaShava Shebahin. So Hatzad HaShava Shebahin again is referring us back to our Mishnah. We spent time over the last, just as a recap, we spent time last week basically going through this potential to be able to derive all of the main categories of damages from two of them. So we said that perhaps you could just take Bur and one other, so someone digging a pit and one of the other ones, and then derive everything from that. And in the end, we concluded that didn't really work, and we explained why that was. But now we're coming back to our Mishnah, where the Mishnah actually has a sort of a concluding line. So the Mishnah had gone through, explained why each one was different. Each of the categories was unique from each other, and each one sort of needed its own special category and its own special rules to go with it. But then it ends with a sort of a catch-all phrase, which was Hatzad HaShava Shebahin, that there is a similarity between all of them. There is a common ground between all of them. There's sort of an overlap on the Venn diagram, as it were. And that overlap is in the Mishnah's phraseology, it was that you are shadarkon lahazik, that these things cause damage, or they're sort of it's within the realm of possibility that they cause damage. Uma moncha, according to some, and they belong to you. Ushmirasan alecha, and you are required to look after them. You're required. You're in charge, basically. It's your responsibility to make sure that they don't cause any damage. So that was the catch-all phrase that the Mishnah used. And the way that the Mishnah is phrased is a very common thing that the Mishnah does, is that when it has a sort of a catch-all at the end of a list, then we see that as coming to include something specific. So something that doesn't necessarily fall into any one category per se, but Hatzad HaShava Shebahin is saying that it's sort of it's only there because of the overlap of the two of them. So you have to sort of have a little bit of more than one category in order to end up with this case. So what is that case? So that's what the Gemara basically wants to know. So as I said, we're starting towards the top of 6a. So the Gemara says, La asuye mai, what is this coming to include? Hatzad HaShava Shebahin. What is the extra case that we're coming to, that the Mishnah is coming to include that I wouldn't have known otherwise? Omar Abaye suggests as follows: La asuye avno sakino umaso'o. So this is if a person puts down a big stone, their stone that they were carrying, or a sakin, a knife, or maso'o, or their pack, shehinichon barosh gago. You put them down on your roof. Now again, don't imagine the roofs that we have nowadays. If anyone could picture going to Yerushalayim, for example, or any sort of city in the Middle East and those sorts of things. Talking about flat roofs, right, where people used to be able to go up to the roof, and that was often, you know, a sort of a garden of sorts, a place where you would go up to your roof, a place to be able to, do your business, perhaps hang out laundry or something, whatever you would do, up on the roof, have guests potentially up on that roof. And so you put down your stone or your knife or your pack on your roof. V'noflu beruach metzuya, and they fell off in an expected wind, a normal wind. Expected doesn't mean that the weather forecast said there was going to be a wind. It means that it's a normal wind. It's not a hurricane, right? If it's a hurricane, then that's a different thing. But we're talking about a regular type of wind, and the wind basically caused them to fall off, and they did damage by falling off the roof. Now, again, we're going to limit this for the moment. They're talking about causing damage to somebody else's property, not to another person, because that does complicate matters. But maybe we'll say a word about that afterwards. So again, for instance, I put down my knife. I've come home after a busy day doing whatever I was doing and put down my knife, and the wind blows it off the roof. And your dog, for example, happens to be walking underneath at that time. So then am I liable to pay for that? So the sense is, yes, I'm going to be liable, but the question is, which category exactly does that fall into, right? It's difficult to sort of place that into any of the categories. So let's go through that sort of stage by stage to try and figure out how exactly we're going to make this person liable. This is just the way I'm presenting it. They fell off in this regular wind. Vehiziko and caused damage. Heichi dami, what is the case? That's what the Gemara wants to know. What is the case? Ibahadi de ka'azli komazki. So if we're talking about a case where they cause damage as they fall, right? Hainu eish, then that should be considered a standard category of eish, i.e., it's similar to, right? So this is the impression that the Gemara is giving. Similar to if I light a fire and the wind blows, a regular wind blows that fire across and it damages your property. That's similar to me putting down my knife and the wind blows it across and again it damages your property as it's in flight. So that the Gemara says is simply a case of eish. So Maishna eish, what's the difference between eish? So no, that's different. The koach acher me'ura bo, because in this case we're talking about where there has to be something else which causes it to happen, right? Fires spread even without the help of wind. They may be helped by wind, but fire will spread even without wind there. But this stone or this pack or this knife is not going to move anywhere without a koach acher, without some sort of additional input from something else, this other koach acher, some other force to come along and to help it on its way. And therefore, it's slightly different. So that's what the Gemara responds. The koach acher me'urabo eish is also, the Gemara is saying that eish also requires a koach acher, right? It also requires wind to be able to move. It's interesting the Gemara says that, because potentially you could say that's not the case. Now let's think about that in a moment. So just to conclude this line. So the Gemara says that with eish, if I light a fire, that also requires some harnessing, some other force, and it belongs to me. I lit it. This is something I caused. Ushmiros on alech, I'm required to guard it. Haninami, kach acher me'urabo, it had another force, and umamoncho, it's mine, ushmiros on alech, and I'm required to guard it. So the Gemara doesn't like that example of elabosar denaichi. Rather, the Gemara wants to say that it must be talking about a case where it blows it off the roof, and once it's sitting in a different place, then it causes damage. So I put my bag down on my roof, the wind blew it off, and then your animal tripped over it when it was in the street. It had already landed in the street. And when it had landed in the street, so that doesn't, it's not really bor, because I didn't put it down in the street. I put it down elsewhere. It's not really eish, because it's not damaging as it moves, right? It's not like it's damaged as it moves. It's just sitting there. And therefore, it doesn't really seem to work. So why do we say that eish also requires a kach acher? Perhaps you just say that it needs fuel or something. I guess fire doesn't really move without something else enabling it to travel. In theory, if there's no fuel or there's no nothing, then the fire will be contained. That's what the Gemara means. Yes.
Sorry, Rabbi, in the case of the fire, are you liable for all the damages caused by all the fire, however it spreads? Or wherever it spreads?
Is there a cap on the damage?
There's a cap.
There are certainly exceptions. So, for instance, we saw earlier that there's an exception of what's called tomon, of things which are hidden. But if it spreads, again, we've got to really, if we're going to answer that question properly, we should really finish Bava Kamma and go back and make sure. But so far as we've understood so far, it does sound like there's no cap on that. Yes, it doesn't sound like there's a cap on that.
It's just like thinking, because if, let's say, your knife or stone blows off the roof, the damage, possibly it could be extensive. It's unlike to be so obvious.
One more time, if it's...
So let's say a stone falls off a roof and your cattle trips over it. It will be very localized damage. It will be a damage of a different kind, in the sense that you can actually assess it a lot more quickly and more accurately.
Right.
Therefore, I would say there is a distinction between the damage caused by fire and the damage caused by an item that falls off a roof.
Yeah, I think, listen, I think this comes back to it's similar to what we have encountered in the past, in the sense that we can always draw distinctions between each of the cases. But what the Gemara is doing, I think, here is is trying to distill down what are the key elements that are similar and what are the key elements. In a sense, yes, you're right. From if you and I were just approaching this, you know, in a vacuum, then we could find all sorts of differences between the two. But what the Gemara is saying is that there are certain key elements to Eish, and it shares those key elements. So the key elements seem to be that it travels, and that you're required to look after it, and that it can be attributed back to you in a sense. So those seem to be the key elements that that it still seems to have. So the Gemara then basically, as a result of that, says that it must be referring to a case where it's basar denaychi. So we're now eight lines down. Need glasses. It is 8 lines down, yes. Okay, 8 lines down. Vela basar denaychi, after it has now rested on the ground. So you left your backpack on your roof, it's fallen off with the wind, and now it's in the middle of the street and causes damage while it's in the middle of the street. So still the Gemara is not happy. We still need to establish what exactly is the case that the Gemara is referring to. Ida afkarinhu. Let's say we're talking about a case where you have made it hefker, you've declared this onerless. So then, bein l'rav, bein l'shmuel, haynu bor. Now when it says onerless, doesn't mean... well, it may well mean that it's ownerless, but the key point here of ownerless is saying that clearly this is not you're not saying this after it's already caused the damage. The point is that you'd, let's say, decided that you don't want this anymore. Let's say you threw it out. You know, it's clear that it was thrown out. It was rubbish, and you'd left it, let's say, on the edge of this roof, you know, to remind you to chuck it out, or just because it had to be out of the house, and then it fell off, i.e. you weren't interested in it anymore. So then, even still, you're still going to be liable. Bein l'Rav, bein l'Shmuel. What is this debate? So we'll come back to what the debate is between Rav and Shmuel, but the point is, according to all opinions, haynu bor, that itself is the classic case of a pit, i.e., I declare something only, I dig a pit in a public place, then that in itself is, regardless, when I declare it ownerless, that in itself is the classic case of a bur, of your liability. That is, as we've said in the past, that is one of two specific situations in which a person, in a sense, says that they don't own something, but the Torah actually attributes it back to them. The Torah does actually put it to an extent within their property. The other case that we've mentioned in the past is chometz on Pesach. So chometz on Pesach, again, if a person, assuming the right set of circumstances, to be liable, sometimes you can say that this is no longer yours, but actually, if it's still sitting on your property, then the Torah considers that still to be yours, and that would still be a problem, which is why, as part of our sale of chometz, we also rent out the space. That's part of the sale of chometz, that it's not only belonging to somebody else, but actually the space where it's sitting also belongs to somebody else as well, at least temporarily. So the point is that that's no good. We can't be talking about a case where you've thrown it out. Rather, it must be talking about where you still own it, where you were still planning to own it. And again, we will explain Rav and Shmuel in just a moment. Bein l'Rav bein l'Shmuel haynu bor. That is the classic case of a bor. Maishna bor. What's the difference? Right? What's the difference? Bor shekein tchilas asiyosa l'nezek. Again, these are distilling out the key elements here. When we're talking about a case of bor, what are the key elements there? It was considered to be a hazard from the beginning. Uma moncha, and at least the Torah makes it yours, right? So maybe it doesn't actually belong to you because you've made it ownerless, but again, the Torah makes it yours. Ushmiros analecha, and you are liable to look after it. You're required to look after it. Haninami tchilas asiyasa menezek. So too with this thing that you left on your roof. It was considered to be a hazard, admittedly in a different place, but still considered to be a hazard. Umamoncha, it belongs to you, Shmiras Nolecha, and you are required to look after it. So therefore, it seems to have all of those key elements, and again, you'd still be liable. Ella de lo afkarinhu. So finally, the Gemara says, must be talking about a case. We must be talking about a case where it has already landed, but you had actually kept hold of it. Why does it make a difference that you've kept hold of it? Because according to Rav, so brings us back to the debate between Rav and Shmuel. So Rav and Shmuel have a debate later on Chaf Ches Omed Beis, that 28b, which you may or may not have inside. In fact, probably may well not have that. The art scrolls may not go as far as that. But they basically have a debate as follows. Let's see if we can find it to look very simply.
Our art scroll does go up to there. It goes up to 30-something.
Oh, there you go. So if you look on 28b, truth is, I'm not sure if it really works out well. Yeah, okay, here. So there you go, here. So if you look towards the top, if you have it in front of you, great. If not, then not. So basically, there's this that he said the following in front of Shmuel. Omar li nichti avno sakino masar. So again, he's talking about this same case as ours. Avno sakino masar. Mi boro lomadnu. He says they are still considered bor, i.e. even though you still own them, he's talking about a case, even though you still own them, they're considered to be bor. And, okay, it's difficult to sort of find a good line about this, because the Gemara basically debates it all the way down. Let me see if there is a simple conclusion we can take from over here. Okay, we don't have it straight off, but basically what the debate between Rav and Shmuel is as follows. Rav, according to Shmuel, it's considered to be bor. It says even though you're still holding on to it, that still falls into the category of bor, i.e. the key element is that it's considered to be a hazard. But according to Rav, if you still own it, then that cannot be considered bor. You're still liable, but you're actually liable like a shor, like an animal, as it were, that you own, because it's part of your property, and therefore it's just falling into a slightly different category. It's similar to if your animal tripped something up, right? If you leave your pack in the middle of the street and you still want that bag to be yours, that bag is still yours. You still own that bag. You're still holding on to it, not physically, but you still keep it. Then that is like your animal tripping something up. So that's basically the debate between Rav and Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel, because according to Rav, if you still own it, then it's considered to be like sure, or falling under that category. Whereas according to Shmuel, it's considered to be bur. It's considered to be similar to the case of this pit that we've been talking about. Okay, so back to our Gemara. We'll try and sum up when we get to a stopping point in a few lines, and we'll just sort of try and sum it up from a logical perspective. But just for the moment, we'll keep going. Ella de lo afkarinu. So we are now, everybody with me, it's about 12 or 13 lines down. Ella de lo afkarinu. We're talking about a case where you do not make it ownerless. You still own this bag or this knife or this stone. Le Shmuel de Omar kulam mibor lamadnu haynu bor. So again, we've still got a problem according to Shmuel. So yes, it may work according to Rav, because according to Rav, this is sort of a bit of an in-between case. But according to Shmuel, this is a classic case of bor, still considered to be a regular pit. So the Gemara concludes and says as follows: Le'olam de'afkarinu. We are talking about a case where you do in fact make it ownerless. Velo domu lebor. Whereas we thought that was the classic case of digging a pit in a public place. The Gemara says it's not a classic case at all. It's different. Malabur shekain ein koach achamurupa, because it's missing, because this has a key element that something else has moved it there, right? When I dig a pit, then I left the hazard in that place. Here, something else has come along, albeit somewhat predictable, right? A regular wind. But still, something else has come along to move it. And therefore, we need a little bit of, we need to borrow some logic, as it were, from one of the other categories. Eish is going to be what brings in that element of kach acher. Just as lighting a fire has that element of moving, right? That even though I, as it were, create the cause of the damage in one place, and the damage is actually caused in a different place, so there's still enough to draw a line of connection between the two. So in this case, we have the same thing. So eish tochiach, mala eish shekein darka leilu chulahazik, bor tochiach. What about an eish? But this is dissimilar to eish, because eish, when I put it down, it moves. It moves all the time. It's moving. But this is not darka leilu chulahazik, right? When I put something down, it stays over there. So in that case, bor tochiach. Okay, again, bur, we see from the case of a bur that that's not crucial to make you exempt, i.e. you can still be liable even in a case where you put something down and don't expect it to move. V'chozar hadin, Gemara says, and then in that sense the circle is closed, right? We have elements of both. So just to clarify the conclusion, and then we'll take some questions. So the conclusion basically is that this doesn't neatly fall into one category or another, right? Basically, it falls into a little bit of both. It's similar to bur because it doesn't move of its own accord, but it's similar to eish because it does harness some other power. And you can't say, and basically when the Mishnah uses the phrase hatsad hashava shabahin, that all of these do have a common ground, what the Mishnah is saying is that you can borrow, you can borrow from each other, and therefore we end up with this case being liable, even though it doesn't neatly fall into one category or another. It actually still is liable because it's partly eish and partly bur, and the overlap of those two, or the sort of the link between the two, actually makes this person liable in this case. Okay, any questions? Fine. So that's basically one answer of the Gemara. The Gemara is now going to go through a different one instead. Okay, but initially the Gemara wants to say that that you would be liable. Okay, so what would you be liable for? Actually, let's take a step back. I said before we weren't going to talk about damage to people. So we're still not going to go through it. Maybe we won't go through it in detail, but it is interesting to consider for a moment. There is a big discussion as to whether this does extend to people or not, right? Generally speaking, you might say that, well, actually it's really stronger on the next element. Anyway, the point is that you could say in this case, initially, from a logical perspective, we would say that if you are liable, then you're liable all the way through. But there are those who actually distinguish between kach acher, between sort of having, yes, it's true that this is creating some sort of mazik, right? Something which is designed to do damage or can well do damage, that by putting down my knife, that is considered to be a hazard. But that's not quite the same as me doing it myself, right? As what we sometimes term in halacha to be kach gavra, to be a more active type of damage that is caused. And that active type of damage that is caused, then That may be slightly different. So just interesting distinction that you can draw. I think actually it's more discussed on the next part, and maybe we'll look at it once we've gone to the next case that the Gemara brings. Okay, so the next case that the Gemara brings has similarities, but it's basically using a slightly different category to find this middle ground, this common ground between the two. And one other thing to bear in mind, actually, and to hear people's thoughts after this, is each of these categories we've said in the past has their own exemptions, right? So they have certain limitations. So for instance, a bur would only apply in a public place, right? Wouldn't apply in a private place. And as we've said in the past, the aish, you're exempt for things which are hidden. So which of those exemptions would you apply to this in-between case? Do you apply both? Do you apply neither? Do you choose one? So that's also something to consider in this particular instance. Okay. Rava Omar. So Rava says as follows. La'asuye bur. So he says, la'asuye bur hamis galgel. He says it's to include literally a rolling pit. Doesn't mean that the pit is rolling, but it means basically a moving pit, right? So now we've just talked about a moving pit of sorts, but it's a different sort of moving pit. Here we're talking about a case where it's moved not by a wind, which is predictable, but by something else. So what is that something else? So Baragle Odom over Ragle Behema, says the Gemara, that it's moved through the legs, through being kicked by another person or by an animal. Now you might say that the person who kicked it is considered to be the liable one, right? But actually what we're going to try and do is to at least come up with a case where actually they wouldn't be liable. It would be the person who originally put it down who may well still be liable. So they are walking along in, let's say for instance, the knife. Let's say we're talking about a case of a knife, right? That you put down your knife in the middle of the street and lo and behold, you know, 15 minutes later, it turns up down the road and actually it seems to have caused damage somewhere else. So it turns out, let's say you put it down on the pavement, right? And then, 2 minutes later, you hear a pop and someone's tire has gone. And it's because the knife has ended up in the middle of the road, right? And caused damage to that person's tire. So now, are you liable? So you could argue, what do you mean? I put it down over here and now the damage is done over there. So someone else must have moved it over there. Something else has happened to get it over there. So therefore, that's not whoever put it over there would be the problem. So let's go into the case and try and figure out the details. So Gemara says as follows. Heichi Domi. Okay, Hey Dalad, this is the usual abbreviation. Heichi Domi basically means what is the case? What are the circumstances that we're dealing with? Ida Afgarinhu. So again, coming back to our question from last time, Ida Afgarinhu, if we're talking about a case where you have made it Hefgar, Bein Larav, Bein Lashmuel, Hainu Bar. So again, if you were talking about a case where you've made it, where you have declared this ownless, then it should be a classic case of bar, at least initially. Last time we backtracked from that. But at this stage of the Gemara is saying, Hainu bar, that is a classic case of you putting down a hazard, and that hazard causes damage, and therefore you would still be liable. So Maishna, so the Gemara says, no, there's a difference. The Gemara says the opposite. Maishna bar, again, it's just fleshing out the question. Maishnobor, what's the difference between a regular case of a pit, shekain techilas asiyos al nezeg, which is a hazard when you put it down, ushmiros alecho, and you're liable to pay, honinami techilas asiyos al nezeg, ushmiros alecho. So too here, it is put down. It's a hazard when you put it down, and you're liable. You're required to look after it. So honinami. You're still required to look after it. So therefore, it's a classic case of bur, of this hazard. Ella, the lo afkarin. So the Gemara says, must be talking about a case where you didn't. So it's very familiar, very similar to what we had last time. You must be talking about a case where you did not declare this ownless. And then the Gemara says, l'shmuel to Omar kulam mibur l'madnu baha. So then we're still stuck, according to Shmuel's opinion, because Shmuel's of the opinion that even then, it's still considered to be bar, it's still considered to be this hazard, even if you didn't declare it ownless. So la'olam, the Gemara concludes and says, no, we are talking about a case where you did declare it ownless. So again, according to everybody, you declared this ownerless, and therefore one might have thought it's bar. But lo domi labur, says the Gemara, it's not really exactly the same as when you create a hazard. Why? Malabur shakin ma'asov garmulo, tomar bahani she'ein ma'asov garmulo. It says, you know, classic case of bar, it's my actions and my actions alone which caused this damage, Now you have something else, right? You have something else involved in it. So then the Gemara responds and says, Shor Yochiach. Shor Yochiach. Shor Yochiach means that there is an element to the liability of the case of Shor, of my animal causing damage, which actually plugs this hole. Mala Shor, Shekain, Darko, Leiloch, Lahazik. Just as I am still responsible to look after my animal, even though it moves around, even though my animal goes for a wander on its own, so too, I'm also required to look after this knife, even if it you know goes around. So bor tochiach, bor now comes and malasher shekin darke leilach lahazig bor tochiach, right? And bor again plugs the other gap of. Sorry, excuse me, I've got the wrong way around. So, Toma Bahani Sha'in Masav Garmulo, what about in this case, which it wasn't just my action which caused the problem, so Shor Yochiach. So again, the fact that I'm liable for my animal causing damage is going to plug that gap, because I don't drag my animal to cause damage. It goes of its own accord. I didn't do that. So, Malashor. But what about the opposite? Malashar Shekin Darka Leiloch Lahazek. Ashur, an animal, is not considered to be a hazard from the beginning. So that's also no good. So you need to fill in that gap. So Bor Tochiach, in this case, a bur will plug that gap. And therefore, V'chazar Adin closes the circle. Lo Re'izeh, Ki Re'izeh, as the Mishnah had said, each one is dissimilar from the other. Yes, they each have their own unique elements. But despite having their own unique elements, we can still borrow one from the other, and in that sense be able to end up with a case where it doesn't neatly fit into one category or the other, but you still are liable as a result. I think what's interesting in the second case is what's the difference between this and the first case, really. So why would we distinguish between this case and the other case? I'm just sort of thinking that as we go through it again now. Ultimately, it's one has moved as a result. Let's see if Rashi clarifies, because we're talking about a case where the hazard was moved by something else, right? Now, in the first case, we talked about the hazard was moved by the wind. Right, in this second case, we're talking about where the hazard is moved by an animal, right, or by somebody else.
Could it be that the wind is a more expected effect?
Sorry,
could it be that wind would be a more expected effect?
But then you should say all the more so. So if it's expected, then meaning in a sense we have this case, we should do. It sounds like you're using a different category. So whereas in one case we've borrowed from Aish, in this case we've borrowed from Shor, which are really two slightly different things. It's interesting that we borrow from Shor in this. Yes, go on. Sorry.
Is it perhaps that there's a different measure of damages depending which one it comes from? So if it's Aish, you're liable for the full amount, I think.
Right.
But if it's Shor, it depends on the animal.
Right. That's interesting. I wonder whether we would say, and maybe that goes back to the question which we didn't really address, but we sort of floated before, as to whether you can borrow from the limitations of each one, and whether you actually wouldn't be. You'd be liable only half damages at the beginning for this one. I think that would be hard to say that, but I guess in theory it should add up. Yeah, I mean, listen, we could certainly see a difference between the two. We could certainly see a difference between the two. It's just interesting that they are.
Because whereas boar cannot move by itself without some other agency, whereas the Shor can move by itself.
Right.
In case it didn't, perhaps, but it can.
No, but are we talking about where it's your animal which kicks it or somebody else's animal which kicks it? Sounds like it's somebody else's animal. So if it's somebody else's animal, then it should just be similar to...
If it's somebody else's animal, you're not responsible for it, right?
But the Gemara is saying you are responsible for it. Again, to clarify, when we say shor yochiach, it doesn't mean that your animal has come along and moved it. It means that the category of shor is what is bringing that element, i.e. the element that actually... I think the point is that even if the hazard seems to move itself, as it were, you know, you sort of turn around and it wasn't expected. Like you said, it wasn't like the Aish where the wind might be normal. This was totally unexpected. I don't like the phrases expected and unexpected. We come back to them a lot because we're not really talking about cases of oness or things like that where you may not be liable. We're talking about, I think all of this is within the realm of normal. That's really what we're talking about here. Within the realm of normal. We're not talking about totally crazy things happening where you may well have an argument to talk about oness.
Maybe the issue here is about whether you are safeguarding the hazard. So, for example, if you have a pit that is quite clearly roped off and is unable to move, likewise, if you put something on the roof, in say, under a netting, maybe that's what it's trying to drive at. Did you safeguard the hazard to the best of your ability?
Right. No, I think that's true. And again, it really, really, in some sense, in some way... to an extent, we could say that it's irrelevant. I guess my real question is, what is the Gemara? Why does the Gemara feel necessary to bring two different cases? Right, they seem to be very similar cases. Is there a reason why we have two? Right, the Gemara usually will just sort of have one type of case and just leave it at that, unless there's a real reason to bring the second one. I think we need to. Maybe we'll have a bit more time.
It's saying that the hazard could have been safeguarded if...
But in both cases, you haven't safeguarded it.
Sorry?
In both cases, that's true.
Hmm.
It's taking distinct things.
And yet it's saying in each case, if you had taken a singular action or a similar action... then the damage would not have resulted.
If you had taken a similar action?
Yeah, i.e. to safeguard.
But it doesn't really mention about safeguarding at all. It doesn't talk about whether you had put into place any safeguards at all.
Yeah, but to me, the reason you're liable is because you've left something in a condition where it could cause the damage.
Right, I guess that's what... Yeah, you're right. I think that's by definition of Bur, that seems to be fundamental to the decision, to the liability, that it is considered to be a hazard from the beginning. You have left it in a way, meaning the knife, if it's, let's say, in its, you know, on your belt, in its sheath, may be not considered to be a hazard. Let's say a backpack is a better example, actually. A backpack in and of itself is not considered to be a hazard, right, while you're carrying it around. But once you put it down and leave it in the middle of a forest, let's say, in the middle of a forest, then it might be considered to be a hazard. I still come back to, I think we came across this problem last time when we talked about Bur, maybe it was the time before. But again, whenever we have these cases of the Gemara, we're talking about standard, without any other agreements in place or understandings, right? So for instance, let's say you dig a pit on a motorway, right? So regardless of technicalities and all of that, everybody is in agreement that is an unexpected and unsafe thing to do, and therefore that would be you'd be liable. I think that sort of falls out of the realm of classic Bava Kamma, because Bava Kamma is talking about places where there's no other rules, no other expectations in place. When we look at our streets, we're talking about, you know, this is an interesting question which has come up in the past. There used to be a stretch of road where I lived a number of years ago, which was where the paving stones were a little bit wobbly. And every so often, someone used to have a fall, and they used to talk about whether, you know, whether the, I mean, good luck getting the money from them, but they used to talk about whether the local government should be, you know, should be liable for that, right? So that, in a sense, I think has become part of our expectation. So yeah, maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. It's an interesting legal question, but I don't think that's classic Boa Kama, because there, you know, most of us nowadays expect to have a totally flat road. You know, that's a very relatively new thing. To be able to walk on a totally flat road is already a new thing. But we're talking about, let's say you leave your backpack out in the middle of a forest, right? So yes, it's true, you're expecting a few you know, ups and downs, but you're not expecting to have something quite as big as that, and therefore that is considered to be a normal, that in and of itself is a hazard. By leaving it there, you would be liable. What about if it's moved elsewhere? So that's what our Gemara is referring to. Our Gemara is saying that if it's kicked by one person, you know, to be in the path of another, or kicked by an animal to be in the path of another, and that second person, or that second animal, I should say, really ends up getting damaged as a result, so you're still considered to be liable, because of this bor hamisgalgel, right? It's that just as you're liable for your animal that moves, so too you're liable for your hazard that moves as well, i.e. the shor yochiach. That's what the phrase the Gemara uses, that element of shor can be drawn out from there, and you would still be considered to be liable as a result of that.
Rabbi?
Yes.
What happens if you dig a pit and then you fill the pit in?
Right.
But having filled the pit in, you haven't done a good enough job to be as if it was when there was no pit there, and then somebody gets hurt. Are you still liable?
I mean, again, without, I would say yes, generally, because it's assuming you've not done a good job, then that would still be considered to be a hazard, right? So if you've left it as a in a way where it's considered to be a hazard, then I think you would be liable. I'll give you a classic example. Maybe our streets is not a good example. I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. There was a, as you may know, I'm a bit of a racing fan. So there was a big crash yesterday in the Grand Prix. I don't know if anybody saw it. So that is a classic example of a different understanding, in a sense, you know, where there is an understanding when you undertake to be a racing driver under those circumstances that there's going to be different levels of risk to normal, right? So there was all these discussions about whether the barrier did its job or didn't do its job, and whether it should have broken apart or not broken apart, you know, and I think they definitely try to make it as safe as possible, and that's a good thing to try and make it as safe as possible. But the point is that is a classic case where there would be an understanding of those specific circumstances. The facts on a racetrack are going to be different to, or the expectations of safety on a racetrack are going to be different to the expectations of barriers and obstacles and hazards and all those sorts of things in other places, in other sort of, you know, normal situations, and therefore the rules are going to be slightly different and much more linked to what is understood, right? What is sort of the unwritten rules of that place? So I think that's slightly, in my mind, I sort of that's one way to recognize where Boa Kama, in a sense, Boa Kama may have parts to say on that, but that's not going to fall under classic categories of damage that we've talked about here, because again, you're undertaking a different agreement. It's a different agreement, and that's once you and I agree to something different, then that's always going to in these sorts of cases is going to supersede that workplace accidents as an example, right? They may, the rules that govern those sorts of things will be based on the expectations of those places, will be based on the written and the unwritten rules of those environments, and not just fall back on the sort of standards which are set out over here. Anyway, But that was really a little bit of an aside.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Can I ask something which, what I don't really understand about the discussion we've reached now is, didn't we right at the beginning, wasn't Bohr defined, wasn't one of its defining characteristics that it doesn't move? But now we're saying...
No, you're right. So that's the point. So what about if you have a case where it does move? So that's what the Gemara is dealing with.
We defined it as not. I don't understand. We defined Bohr as a hazard that doesn't move.
Let's say you have a hazard that does move, right? So what is that's what the Gemara wants
so
to
know. It can't be Bohr. So it can't be Bohr by definition.
Not that it can't. I don't think it's that it can't be. Sorry. One of the I don't think Bohr was that it doesn't move. The you're not liable because it doesn't move. You're liable because it's considered to be a hazard.
Yes, right?
Because it's considered to be a hazard.
I thought one of the reasons it was introduced as one of the four originally was
yeah,
that
that's
it
the reason. That's the one of the reasons why it's different from the others. That was yeah. the point. Yes, that exactly. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying here. Each of these has their differences, and that's why we have different categories. But what about if you have one that seems to fall, in between the lines of the two? So the point is, you can draw of elements from the different categories. Let's say.
So we're not saying.
The liability, the requirement to pay when you make a hazard, is not because it doesn't move, right? The liability is because it's a hazard, right? You're expected to look after it, right? To guard that hazard, to do something. But the reason why that was introduced as a separate category is because you might have thought that since it doesn't move, then that would create. If we only had Bohr, then you wouldn't be able to get anything else, right? You wouldn't be able to understand that Shor would be liable or anything else would be liable. Never you have this separate category. You need to have this separate category because it has differences from the others, right? And therefore, you have to have the separate category. But that's not where its liability comes from. That's just the difference, as it were, the difference between the two. And that is exactly what the Gemara is talking about. That even though we have these separate categories, even though they're each distinct from each other, you can draw elements from one to another and have a case, for instance, of a Bohr that is moving about. Which doesn't seem to neatly fall into one category or another, and yet we would still make it liable based on elements of both, based on taking the two together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I understand that. I think the point is that it's a bit confusing if you say a Bohr that's moving about. What you mean is you have a hazard, yeah. Something. We don't know what to call it, but we're saying it's got elements of Bohr about it.
Well, the element of Bohr is that it's a hazard.
Okay. But it isn't Bohr. It's something which we don't know.
I know when you say it's something, the name, that is the name of the category. You can call it something. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it.
In that case, why don't you call it Shor?
Because a Shor is not a hazard. An animal is not considered to be a hazard. That is exactly what is unique about Bohr. That it, when it's made, shadarkon lahazik. That's how the Gemara phrases it.
Right.
That it's considered to be a hazard from its inception. An animal is not considered to be a hazard. That's exactly the that's the difference. So maybe we would. I think the challenge with all these things is maybe the translation. So Bohr literally translates as a pit, but if you were sort of categorizing it, the heading would more likely be hazard than pit, right? In a sense. So that's the. If we go back to the, was it in the Mishnah? Yeah, the in the Mishnah that is shadarkon lelech. Sorry, that's the animal.
Yeah, bor is she'ein darkon.
She'ein darkon lelech lahazik, but it does tzad shava shava shadarkon lahazik ushmiros nolecha. Right. Yeah, so that was why bor didn't work with the others. It didn't fit with the others because it doesn't move. But its actual liability is because it is considered to be a. Where was the Gemara that talked about? But oh, here, yeah, told of the bor. What are the classic cases of bor? Yeah, Shekin Tchilas Asiyoso Lenezek. That's what the top of 3b. That's where the Gemara really defines what Bor is. So at the top of 3b, the top of Gimel Amud Beis, that's where the Gemara really defines what Bor is. And it refers to it as Tchilas Asiyoso Lenezek. As they explain it over here, Shemet Tchilas Kriyoso, from the very moment where you dig that pit, Bereshis Rabim, who Omeid Lahazik, it is there to cause damage, right? It is there ready, in a sense, to... be able to cause damage, and that is why that's the unique element, as it were, of bor, and that's what we're drawing from over here. So here you have something which is considered to be a hazard, but that hazard moves about, right, or has moved around before it causes damage, and that's what causes us problems in terms of liability. And so the Mishnah had said, Hatzad Hashava Shabahen, that each of the that while each of these categories are distinct from each other, They still have a tzad hashava shabahen. They still have a common ground. As I say, maybe that overlap of the Venn diagram, right? That sort of in between, which is the ability to still be liable, even if it doesn't neatly fall into one or the other. So in our case, it doesn't really fall into bor because it moves around. It doesn't really fall into shor because it's shekein tchilas asiyos lenezik, because it really is considered to be a hazard from the beginning, whereas an animal is not considered to be that. And therefore, even though we have both of those together, sort of adding both of those together, ultimately makes it liable. Lower Ezek or Ezer. So even though they're distinct from each other, you'd still be considered to be liable. I think, or maybe next time, I'll do a bit of research and we'll see if we can find out whether, so maybe some good side interesting discussion as to whether we would take the leniencies of both, right? So in this case, would we take the leniencies of both Shor and Bor? Specifically maybe with David's example of whether you'd be only required to pay chatzi nezek, only half damages for the beginning, or not. So it's a very interesting question. I don't know what the answer to that would be. In terms of continuing the Gemara...
We're learning here throughout. We're saying that you are liable for all damages.
One more time?
We're learning here. We're saying that you're obliged to be safeguarding the hazard. Therefore, you're liable for the full damages.
Right.
I don't think there's any implication here that there could be a chatzi measure.
No, the only implication is that it seems to have elements of shor, right? It seems to be borrowing from that category of damage, and we know that category of damage are only liable. I think it's hard to say that. I don't think that will be the case, but I'm just interested why that's not the case in a sense. Yeah, I feel like someone will explain it better than. Better than that. Well, let's go back to the previous one, right? Let's say bor and esh, right? Whether you're liable for something that's hidden, right? As an example, right? Let's say are you liable for something that was being carried by the animal? Let's say the animal's carrying a laptop in its bag and it trips over the stone, right? So now you that's really the case of Aish. So let's say it fell off the roof. You put the stone down on the roof. The stone fell off the roof. Animal comes along and trips over the stone. So yes, you're liable. But are you liable for Tomen? Are you liable for something that's hidden? In a classic case of Aish, you wouldn't be, right? It's a classic case of Aish. If I light a fire over here and it moves and causes you damage, if it causes damage to what's obvious, then Now I'm liable for that, but I'm not liable to if you have something hidden, if you have a treasure that's sort of buried within that thing. So perhaps you would say the same thing in this case. I'm not really sure about that, so we'll have to address that next time. I think in terms of timing, we'll leave it there for now. The next case really is again a sort of a similar idea in the sense of trying to come back to this idea of la'asuye, right? What is this phrase of hatsada shava shavahen? When we say all of it has similarities, although it has distinctions, yes, they're similar. They're fundamentally similar in certain key ways. What exactly is it coming to include? So we've suggested two different things, and I think the Gemara then continues by suggesting a third as well. Okay. All right, so we'll leave it there for now. Turn off the recording, but.